Well, dear friends, greetings today in the name of our Lord Jesus. To get us going today, I want to share just a few thoughts from last weekend, the holiday weekend. Mary and I were not here. We were up in Arnold, Big Trees area, with family and friends, spending some time just relaxing and hanging out. Before heading up there, we had a couple of days with Mary's brother here in San Jose. He was out here from Minnesota, and we played golf on Wednesday. And we went to an A's and Twins game up in Oakland on the 4th of July, which was sort of fun. I'm not a fan of either team, just for the record, but it's always fun, never a bad way to spend a day at a ball game, eating food and drink and having a good time with family. On Sunday morning, we worshiped in a place called the Chapel of the Pines. Small church in Arnold, non-denominational setting. We'd been there a number of times before. And they have a praise band, a more Bible study approach to preaching, sort of verse by verse through the Bible than we would be used to perhaps here. And they certainly have a less structured approach to worship than we're used to. Even though their structure is in, even though non-structured, there's still some kind of structure, but a little less structured than what we're used to. Anyway, what was reinforced for me in all of that last week, in this small church, even though the structure and the approach were different, was the fact that no matter what's happening in life, no matter where you go in life, no matter what you face in life, it's the same Spirit, the same God, the same Christ who are present in that work in the lives of the people. I didn't know all the songs they were singing, but I knew enough of them to feel at home. And I didn't necessarily agree with all of the theology and the preaching. I mean, it's one of the vocational hazards that comes with the preaching trade. You can't just sit and listen to another preacher without thinking through what you might do. But there was enough to keep me there and to remind me that no matter where we're at, no matter what's happening around us, in our lives, good or bad, there's always reason to worship and always reason to thank God for who He is and what He's done for us in Jesus. I share that today because in this short little mini-series, this week and next, we're going to be talking for 2 weeks about how as followers of Jesus, we want to worship the Lord even when the waves come. Even when there's hardship and difficulties and sufferings, we still want to worship the Lord. This series is called Kiss the Wave. Kiss the Wave. It comes from a quote of Charles Spurgeon, a well-known and respected preacher in the 1800s, in which he says, "I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the Rock of Ages." The Rock of Ages is one of the names referenced in the Bible for God. It speaks of His stability and His strength, of the fact that He is unmovable and unshakable. He is strong. He's our sanctuary and our security. Isaiah chapter 26, it says, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord our God is the Rock of Ages." Spurgeon uses the metaphor of a wave to help us understand suffering and the hardships of life so that when the waves come, we don't just try to get through them or past them. And that's somehow how we talk, right? I'm going to endure, I'm going to persevere, I'm going to tough it out until it's all over. That's not all bad. The Bible, however, Spurgeon says, would teach us to kiss the wave, to embrace it, because God is doing something in us during that time that doesn't happen during other times. There are things that God can teach us in the midst of the waves that we have a hard time learning and listening when we're just hanging out at a ball game or with family or golfing or whatever. And so when the waves come, he says, we want to learn to embrace them. Because in them, we find and learn and discover more about the power and presence of God in deeper and more significant ways. To give us a bit of a context for his ministry, Charles Spurgeon, a preacher in the mid-1800s, he's said to have preached an average of 4 to 5 times during each week during his working years. He had more than 3,600 sermons published. He had incredible influence. He also had incredible suffering. He struggled with depression for most of his life. Now, some of you know how debilitating that can be, especially if it doesn't go away after a week or a month or a year. It's sort of this constant companion. His wife was bedridden for more than 25 years of their marriage. He received incredible opposition to what he preached. He spoke out strongly against American slavery and was persecuted as a result. And so Spurgeon speaks about what it was like to experience the suffering, the waves of this life. Here's what he says about what he was experiencing. He says, "I have been cast into waters to swim in, which for God's upholding hand would have been waters to drown in. I've endured tribulation from many flails. Sharp bodily pains succeeded mental depression. This was accompanied both by bereavement and affliction in the person of one so dear to me as life itself, his wife Susanna. The waters continually rolled in continually, wave upon wave. I do not mention this," he says, "to exact sympathy, but to simply let the reader see that I am no dry land sailor. I have traversed those oceans. I know the roll of the billows and the rush of the wave of the winds. Never were the promises of Jehovah so precious to me as at this hour. Some of them I never understood until now." He was 53 when he wrote that. He would die 4 years later. What he's saying is that what I'm talking to you about, I'm just not talking in theory. He says, "I am no dry land sailor. I've experienced the waves of this life, and they have cast me on the rock of ages. And for that, I am grateful. I've come to know the power and presence of God in a way that I would not have otherwise known." Let's talk for a moment about waves. There are a number of things we know about waves. The first is the simple fact that waves will come. I mean, waves will come. Jesus told his disciples that in this world you will find troubles. I mean, there will be things in this life that you never desired nor saw coming, but they will come. You go to the beach and start swimming in the water. It might be calm for a while, but it's only a matter of time before the waves come and it starts getting rough. I mean, it's going to happen, and so don't be surprised when it starts happening. Peter, when he was writing to the Christians who were suffering and being persecuted for their faith, he talked to them about this, because some of them were becoming disillusioned with God. I mean, things had not turned out in life as they expected, and they were starting to blame God as a result. They thought, if God is on our side, right? If I'm on Team Jesus, then shouldn't the waters be more calm? I mean, shouldn't life be simpler and easier for those of us who follow Christ? Things weren't working out for them as they had planned. They wondered what was happening. So Peter writes to them in chapter 4 to encourage them. He says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." In other words, don't act like just because you follow Jesus that somehow you're exempt from the sufferings of this life. It's not the case. We have the rock of ages. We have a sanctuary in the storm. We have the promises of eternal life. But in this world, he says, we will have troubles. And so don't be surprised when they come. Because if you're not expecting it, not ready for it, when the waves come, they can be devastating. There are a number of reasons why I believe we get caught off guard by the waves. One of the reasons is that we have these unrealistic expectations. I mean, we have our ideas of what life's supposed to look like, and so when something happens that changes that, that knocks us off course, we start floundering and drowning. Maybe it's a health diagnosis that knocks you off your feet. I mean, you don't know what to do with it. Or it's some marital challenge that you never thought you'd have to deal with, but now you are. Maybe it's some unexpected financial burdens that keep coming, wave after wave, or some turbulent parenting waters that you thought you'd traverse through much easier. I mean, maybe it's the loss of a loved one that you knew was coming one day, but not as early as this day. I've heard many people say over the years, "I never saw it coming. I just never thought it would happen to me." I mean, to someone else, yes, but not to me. It's funny how that happens in life, especially as you live more of life. You can avoid it for a while, and every family or individual, it's all different, but no one is immune. No one life continues to avoid it. People ask the question, why me? Why me? I think a better question is, why not me? Why not me? What makes me think that somehow my life is different, that somehow I'm going to be the exception and avoid what the fallenness of a sinful world inevitably brings? It's true. It's going to happen on some level to all of us at some time. The waves will come. There'll be times in life when things will get rough. So Peter writes to them and tells them not to be surprised. Don't have these unrealistic expectations for your life. Sometimes you see this in young married couples. They're somewhat set up for this, I believe. They have this picture of what married life is going to be like and how it's all going to be fun and smooth sailing and no troubled waters. And they've been dating for a few years, a few hiccups along the way, but nothing out of the ordinary of much concern. The little counseling I do to prepare couples for marriage, I talk through some of what they might want to expect in the first years of life when two lives are being brought together as one. And for the most part, I think they appreciate the advice and they, in the perspective of someone who's not only been there himself and gone through it in my own life, but also have watched many other couples over the years try to figure it out. But once in a while, I get this feeling from them or this look that this is all good stuff, much appreciated for someone else. But we're good. We're good. I mean, we're fine. No problems here. Things are going to be okay. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. There's no way, real way to tell until it happens. But if and when it happens, with in-laws or money or with raising children, whatever, it's not that the waves they're experiencing are unusual or ones that can't be overcome. It's more that the expectations were unrealistic. And as a result, they can catch you off guard. Another reason people get caught off guard is that they're operating with what I would call an unbiblical theology. They grew up or were taught, or at least somehow came to believe implicitly or explicitly, that if you go to church, follow Jesus, then everything's going to be good and you're going to be on the winning side all along. When that doesn't happen, it's easy to become disillusioned with God, disillusioned with your faith. Peter gives us the theological basis for how we're to live with the waves we face. In chapter 4, he says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself with the same attitude, expecting that suffering will come to you as well." In other words, if you follow a suffering Savior, don't be surprised when suffering comes your way. It's part of life. It happens to all of us. And so we know that the waves will come. We know it's going to happen. We also know as Christians, the waves will stop. They won't come forever. The day is soon coming when there will be no more waves. Again, Peter says, "Do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." Our sufferings connect us with Christ in such a way that we'll be filled with joy, he says, when he finally returns. It's as if Peter is watching us get on a boat and about to sail and take off, and he says, "Come here for a minute. I just want to talk to you about this sailing journey you're going to go on. You're going to go out there. It's going to be fine for a while, but there's going to be some waves that are going to get a little turbulent. There might even be a hurricane or two that's going to hit that you won't see coming, but it's going to hit. You're still going to be okay. And there might be a couple of rogue waves that are going to come along and knock you flat. You'll never see them coming. It's going to be scary at times. Just expect that to happen. But it won't last forever. It'll be just for a moment. While you're there, you're not alone. But before you know it, you're going to arrive at the port of heaven, and the waters will be calm. So take some Dramamine. Hang in there. The waves are coming, but the waves will stop." Revelation chapter 6, it describes the throne of heaven. So the throne of heaven sitting on what looks like a sea of glass. It's like crystal. I love that. There will be no more waves in heaven. Just for fun, I started making a list of things that will no longer be in heaven. I'd encourage you to sit down sometime and make your own list. Here's what I came up with. In heaven, there will be no more cancer, no more divorce, no more rejection, no more loneliness, no more depression, no more crutches or casts, no more wheelchairs or walkers or canes, no more radiation or chemotherapy, no more suicide bombers or school shootings, no more anxiety medication, no more middle-of-the-night phone calls, no more crosses alongside the road, no more child abuse, no more rapes, no more breakups, no more coughs or colds, no more flu shots, no more orphanages or convalescent homes, no more yelling, no more fighting, no more traffic or road rage, no more addiction, no more drugs, no more drama, no more bullying, no more anxiety, no more gossip, no more concussions, no more doctors, no more needles, no more two sides of the aisle always fighting, no more two sides of the story that can't get along, no more waiting rooms, no more funeral homes, no more animal hospitals, no more treatment centers, no more courtrooms, no more pink slips or foreclosure notices, no more stillbirths or motionless ultrasounds, no more tears, no more crying, no more pain. The Bible says no more waves, because the one who sits on the throne will make all things new. The waves will come, the waves will stop, and so we worship in the waves. Maybe the best example I know of this, and this is how I'll close, comes from the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. In chapter 3, he describes the disappointment, the devastation all around him. And here's what he says, starting in verse 17. He says, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls," in this agricultural society, what he's describing is wave upon wave upon wave. He says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights." And so, because our help is in the Rock of Ages, we can worship. I don't know how you would paraphrase those words of the prophet. Maybe you'd say, "Though I'm unemployed, though my spouse has broken my heart, though my child is sick, though the cancer has returned, though everything in my life is a mess and my future is uncertain, though I miss the one who was with me for so many years, though I'm about to lose the one who's been with me all of my life, though things are happening that I just cannot figure out, nonetheless, my hope is in the Lord." Because we worship the Rock of Ages, we have this illogical, unreasonable, almost beyond understanding spirit about worship that does not fit in with the world. And we will continue worshiping, even when the waves come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your stability and strength, for being that solid rock upon which we can rest and depend. We pray that you would help us in the midst of the storms of this life, when it feels like the waves will never stop, to find our rest in you. Lord, help us to learn that it's often in the waves when we need to cling to you the most, that when we cling to you the most, we can and we will live at peace. Give us that peace when the waves of this life come, knowing that the waves will one day stop, and as a result, help us to worship in the waves. In Jesus' name, amen.